Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say, when you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live and love who you wanna love and be what you wanna be. Joy, what you wanna joy.
Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, everybody. Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you, and welcome to another episode of the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's a great day in the city of Chicago, folks. It looks just like summer. Actually, it still is summer, but it feels great in the city of Chicago. And I hope it's wonderful, and I hope you're enjoying yourself and enjoying the weather, especially wherever you are in the world. And for those folks who were devastated by the hurricane, you are in our prayers. Believe me, you are there. Just stay up, stay positive, and tell yourself you're gonna make it. You're gonna do this again. This hurricane is not gonna keep you down. You're gonna think positive. You're gonna get out there and do the best you can to try to reclaim your life after this devastating after devastating losses from the hurricane. And but in the city of Chicago, it is so beautiful. It is so great. I mean, it just makes you want to be out at the beach or something, or at the park or something, you know, or sitting on a rock, you know. I mean, they have rocks at the park over there, big giant boulder kind of rocks. Sometimes people go sit on them and just, you know, they just stare out there or daydream out there in front of the lake as the water is moving slowly, or the tide is moving in and back. And it's just beautiful. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful day in the city of Chicago. I wish I could just take these days that we've been having in the city of Chicago, these beautiful summer-like days, sunny days, bright, beautiful, wonderful. Take them and take these days and just wrap them up and keep them forever. And never try to think about this. Winter is on its way. You know, try not to think about that. Boots, gloves, heavy coats. You folks in warm climates, I don't think you know what I'm talking about, but those of us who are used to living in the cold weather, we know what it is like, if I can fix my mouth. Anyway, it's so beautiful in the city of Chicago, and I do sincerely hope that it's beautiful where you are. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You can always find this show on Facebook. You can find this show on LinkedIn, Amazon, Google. You know, you can always podcast a past show or something like that. And I want to apologize to some for a couple of days. I think there's been some sort of background interference during the shows. And we're trying to get that straightened out, hopefully. If it doesn't too much interfere with the broadcast, we're really going to try and see what we can do about that. So it's one of those things they call what? Technical difficulty. Everybody has it. You know, everybody has it. And I was just seeing some clips, some video from the devastation of the Caribbean, some of those islands in the Caribbean. Some of the, you know, the homes are just flattened, and devastation in Miami, Florida, Florida Keys, you know, Virgin Islands, this Hurricane Irma. I mean, it was really some devastation. I mean, a lot of people lost their homes. And I was saying to some people, hurricanes, twisters, bad weather, you know, they don't care what color you are. They don't care if you're rich or poor. They don't care what you got, what you haven't got. I mean, when they come along, they're going to destroy everything. Doesn't matter who it belongs to, you know, so. And one of the things I want to say again, I want to reiterate again, and I've reiterated this for the last week or so, that people out here helping people, Americans helping Americans, Americans giving of themselves, taking times out of their busy lives to go and help other people in some of these hurricane destructive areas. And the bad thing about this is that politicians try to take credit for it. You know, even Trump is trying to take credit for some of the things that people would do, even if he wasn't president, you know. But he's president, so one of his jobs is to survey damage when we have one of these natural disasters like we've been having, like we had these two last hurricanes, Texas and Indiana. I'm hearing there's another one. But the last one of his is to survey and to help people and to give people hope. That's one of his jobs. Apparently, he didn't know that. I'm pretty sure somebody around the White House told him that, you know. And now he's in Florida and everything. His wife is there. But, you know, I think her name is Melania. I don't want to diss her or anything, but she is no Michelle Obama. I mean, she is, every time I see her with Trump, she's supposedly his wife. They seem not to have any chemistry. They don't hold hands. You don't see no love in the air between them. It's as if they're just not compatible with each other. If you see them, I mean, I think I saw a couple of clips where she neglected to take his hand. He tried to grab her hand and she snatched it back. I just don't see no love there with Trump and his wife, Melania. She's there with him. I'm pretty sure he probably begged her to come because she probably didn't want to come, but he figured that he needed her with him because it looks good that he have his wife around with him, you know. But when you see them together, at least when I see them, there's no compatibility there. they don't jail together, you know, for some reason. She's just there. She's just there for a photo op or something, you know, just like he is. Donald Trump is all about photo ops, you know, getting on television, because as we all know, Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump. No one else. He's making money. He's making money off of the taxpayers. He's making money off the taxpayers, and that is against the Constitution. But the Republicans in Congress, they don't see it that way because they are white supremacists and racists themselves. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hate has no home here. Be nice to one another out there. Stop arguing, bitching, and just try to get along with each other. You know, stop shooting and killing each other. Put the guns down. I think I've talked about putting the guns down when I first started doing the show, because the carnage in Chicago was just ridiculous. And I've been doing the show for three and a half years. And it's been fun. Every show has been fun. I've met a lot of people along the way. Some great, some not so great. But you deal, but you move on. So you move on, and you have to move on. All right. We each have two hands, one for helping ourselves and another for helping others. That is so true. And it's nothing like helping others, because one of the things America is divided. There's no doubt about it. There's no other way to get around it. There's only no other way you can say it. We are divided. And usually if a house is divided against itself, it will fall. If you know where that came from, let me know. Okay. 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air. This is Thursday, folks. So if you're podcasting this show later on, you know that this is a Thursday show. But, you know, I mean, whether if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Monday or Tuesday, whatever. I mean, my shows are good. I mean, I try to make them the best I can. If something's wrong with my show, it's something that I haven't figured out or found out about yet. And I've been here for 3 years, folks, 3.5 years. Yes, I should have. Some people say, well, 3 years, that's no time. You should have been on longer. Yeah, but I thought about it. You know, I thought about it. And now that I'm here, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the people that come on the show. I enjoy their stories. I enjoy whatever their story is about. I mean, I've had some people say, George, that woman you had on was a kook. I don't regard people that come on my show as kooks because they're talking about something that may be out of this world. I just like to hear people, whatever they do with themselves. I mean, if they like what they do, then hey, wow. Great, beautiful. I may not agree with everybody that come on the show, influence my audience or influence me, but you know, it's still fun to see what people are thinking and how they're thinking, because this show is about making the world a better place. And most of the people that I try to book for the show, they have something to say or to give that's going to make the world a better place. And that's all it's about, making the world a better place. There's no time to feel sad or depressed or out of it because of the things that are going on in the world. No, you don't do that. What you do, you keep yourself healthy. You keep yourself thinking positive so you can go out there and do some positive things to help to make the world a better place. If you see something that's not right in the world, or something that's negative, or something that shouldn't be the first one to speak on it and be the first one to say it's not right. Try to figure out how we can all get together and make this a better place. And that's what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about. It's not about me. It's not about this show. It's about the world at large. You know, the world at large, because I've just got through saying we are divided. We are totally divided, and it shouldn't be that way. That's wrong. So we have to work together to try to get this world, get to get the world, maybe America, undivided, and we all come together as one. Because that's what these hurricanes have done, brought Americans together to help Americans, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. As I alluded to, hurricanes, they do not have a preference when they come roaring through your town and destroying everything. They don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, green, yellow. They don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. This deadly weather does not care. It's going to destroy, it's going to maim, and it's going to kill. So what better way of bringing America together than knowing that Americans will help other Americans to try to get back on their feet? The other day, there was a telethon by A-list celebrities on television. They were raising money for people in these devastated hurricane regions like Florida. You know, people are still in need. People have lost everything. Homes, houses, the apartments, buildings, I mean, everything. But the thing is, Florida is still on the map. It is still there. The Florida Keys damage, you know, it's still there. You know, it's none of these states, cities, towns, islands were blown off the map as the weather people alluded to leading up to Irma, you know, leading up to it. But, you know, they're still there. And by these towns and cities, states still being there, that's enough time. That's good enough to start a rebuild. And that's what Trump should be doing. Instead of going around for photo ops and stuff like that, he should be helping to rebuild because that's what it's going to take. Going to take rebuilding from brick by brick. That's what it's going to take. Right. And it was so great to see communities coming together. I mean, this was just so beautiful to see Americans coming together for Americans. There was nothing racial about it. There was nothing that anybody hated. Nobody hated each other. You know, nobody was calling each other out of their names or taking out a gun, shooting someone because they were the wrong color. Communities were coming together to help each other. They were banding together to help each other. But the world is still divided. America is still divided. You know, and that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. North Korea. These guys then launched another missile. I'm hearing toward Japan, if that's correct. There is no doubt about it. This guy, Kim Jong-un, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, this guy is begging for confrontation. This idiot is begging for war. This North Korea is aching to be bombed off the map. You know, I mean, they are they are just no comparison to the United States, to the United States military. They seem like they have a good military from what I see on television, but there's no comparison to the United States. And these guys just keep launching missiles close to U.S. territory of Guam. At one time, I think this guy said that he's going to try and bomb Guam off the map. He has a hydrogen bomb, you know, and he's dangerous. And he's flaunting these missiles launches to the world. Kim Jong-un is aching for war. He's begging for war. He wants it. He can't stand the United States. And I don't want to be an advocate for war because I think killing people is just not the right thing to do. But this guy, he's going to have to be taken out, because if you don't take him out, he's going to take us out. it's best to go after the agitator before the agitator comes over here, and he has threatened the United States multiple times. Multiple times. And yet the United States haven't really responded with any military action. They were talking about diplomacy. Yeah, I think that probably could work if this guy wants it, but it appears to me, I'm just assuming, but it appears to me that he doesn't give a damn about diplomacy. He doesn't care 2 cents about trying to talk this out. These missiles, when you look at these missiles, every time they launch a missile, this guy gets a gleam in his eye. I mean, it's like these missiles are like toys in his hands. These are his toys. He's playing with them, you know, even though these missiles can blow us all up. So he's aching for war with the United States. I don't think there's no other country in the world that he really antagonizes as much as he does the United States. You know, I mean, he can't stand it. I don't know if it's Donald Trump or not, or if it's just the United States in general. But anyway, this guy is totally begging for war. I mean, he wants it so bad because he ignores all the warnings. He ignores all the sanctions. He doesn't care. But I do think that the sanctions are hurting him, are hurting his country. You know, but I don't really think he gives a damn, because he's going to go out the next day and he's going to go out the next day and launch another missile toward some other country, or toward Guam again, as I've heard that he said he was going to try and bomb off the map. And I think Donald Trump had threatened him back and said if he tried to do that, or someone in the State Department threatened him back and said that's not going to happen, and it shouldn't happen. But this guy, he really is asking for it. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say bomb the hell out of North Korea, because they're asking for it. I mean, any other leader throughout the world would probably say the same thing. This guy is asking for it. But if the United States or any other country or its allies can find a way to do this peacefully through diplomacy, then do it. Try it. But I have a feeling that it's not going to work, because this guy, he loves launching missiles. I mean, he's like a little kid with a toy that can kill us all, you know? And I just think he's just asking for war. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is Thursday, and it's such a beautiful day. I'm in my studio here, folks. I just love being in the studio, and I do love describing it to you because I have this great big old window in front of me, and there's people passing me by and all that kind of thing while I'm looking out. You know, a lot of if you look at a lot of television stations, news stations, they've redecorated their newsroom. And I have redecorated my radio studio here, and I'm near the window here, great big window, and watching people, they looking in, and it's just it gives you a feeling of being thankful or being blessed, because you're on the radio or you're on television, and you telling yourself and you're telling the world you're trying to make things better for everybody, you know, and not for me. I had my chance. I'm done. But it's the world that I'm thinking about. Yeah, I'm always trying to make the world a better place. And I'm saying once again that we're going to have to vote in November, because if am I getting off subject here? It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're going to have to get out here and vote in November 2018, because the Trump administration, without a doubt, they're trying to suppress the vote. He's got some kind of panel called the fraud panel that he's going to New Hampshire, or he may have already been, and trying to find ways to suppress the vote. That's all it is. He's Trump is pissed off because he lost a popular vote, and he's pissed off that nobody likes him. He's pissed off that he can't get any traction, can't get anything done in Congress. I mean, Trump's been in office 7.5 months, 8 months, and he hasn't gotten a single legislative victory since he's been in office. He's gotten actually nothing through. Obamacare is still here. It still lives, you know, because they failed in trying to actually repeal it. But as I've said before, Obamacare is in the hands of the Republicans because the Republicans run everything in Congress. So they can bring Obamacare out for repeal for another vote anytime that they want to, because it's there. It's theirs to repeal. It's not the Democrats. The Democrats don't control anything. The Republicans control the House. They control the Senate. They control the White House, and they control the majority of the governorships around America. So, and Obamacare, healthcare is in the hands of the Republicans. So it can fail. Obamacare can fail 100 times with the Republicans, but they can still bring it out 100 more times to try to repeal it until they finally repeal it. So that's how that's going to work. So don't think because you still got your health care that it may be there the next week or the month from a month from now. It may not, because they're still going to try to repeal it, because they've been trying to repeal it for 7 years. They're not going to stop now, you know. Even though they didn't have the votes the last time, they're going to try to get the votes again. But how does anybody go to Congress to hurt people? Nobody. I don't think there's a voter in America that votes for a representative or a senator to go to Congress to hurt them. You know, to make life worse for them, or to make life worse for Americans in general. This just happens. I mean, we don't vote for people to go to Congress, to Washington, to hurt us, but that's what they're doing. That's what the Republicans are doing. They are in full control. They are in the driver's seat here. But they won't be. They will not be come November 2018, November 6th to be Pacific 2018, because we're going to vote every last one of their asses out. They have got to go. You've been listening, and I don't have to tell you why. You should know why. Okay. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. All right. It is a beautiful day in the city of Chicago. Once again, I want to say I hope like hell that it's great where you are, because I don't want to be sitting here in all of this sunshine and great weather and you're miserable. I'm just hoping that you are enjoying some of this too. All right. All right.
Hey there, friends and fans. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want you to enjoy my fictional writings located on Amazon and elsewhere. The website is www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, or go to the Amazon website and type my name in the text bar above to either order or download a book, a story, essays, novels, novelettes, whatever you want to do. And I want to thank you very much for that. And as always, good reading. This is George Wilder Jr. And keep listening. There's always more to come. All right, thank you, everybody.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. He is now almost certainly, almost unavoidably, the soon-to-be future ex-president of the United States. That first draft of the James Comey firing letter, that story that got suitably buried by the hurricane and DACA and North Korea, that first draft should be the end. It may take 2 years to get there or 2 hours, but it is the end. The original draft of the Comey letter that Trump and Stephen Miller reportedly wrote, 4 pages reportedly full of anger over Russia and details of Trump's many meetings with Comey, means that the firing is no longer just likely obstruction of justice. It is likely premeditated obstruction of justice with a paper trail. And special counsel Robert Mueller has a copy. But wait, there's more. It's actually worse even than that. It's essentially premeditated obstruction of justice in the White House, in the Oval Office, by the president to stop an investigation of the president's campaign and his transition team and his administration and ultimately himself. And there was apparently a warning to the president by the White House counsel not to do it because the word reportedly used was, it's problematic. The White House counsel, Mr. McGahn, seems to have warned the president not to send the letter, not to fire the FBI director, not to do it. And he reportedly also took a copy of the letter and marked it up and gave it back to Stephen Miller with, quote, several sections that he believed needed to be removed. And for all we know, he may as well have used the phrase obstruction of justice. And then the president fired Comey anyway. And all of a sudden, there were different reasons for firing him. And all of a sudden, there was this other letter written by the deputy attorney general, which seems to have been rushed into existence to cover up the real reason he fired the FBI director anyway. And there's a paper trail. And Robert Mueller has the original letter. And there are witnesses. Because Trump reportedly read or described the letter in the White House, in the Oval Office, on the 8th of May, to the White House counsel, Don McGahn, to the vice president, to the senior advisor, Hope Hicks, to Jared Kushner, and to the fired chief of staff, Reince Priebus, and they are all screwed too. Unless that is the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal are all not merely wrong, but have all fabricated a story, the same story. Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice, and in writing that letter, Trump has in essence already confessed to it. He is now almost certainly, almost unavoidably, the soon-to-be future ex-president of the United States. The main problem for Trump is that all these people who reportedly saw or heard about that letter that day, the vice president and the White House counsel included among them, could now be subject to being questioned in front of the grand jury. If White House counsel McGahn is asked, did you tell the president he had to change that letter because firing Comey for those reasons would be a crime? And McGahn says yes, then Trump is in desperate trouble. As the long-term former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotta put it on Twitter, if Trump did it anyway, that would be slam dunk evidence of a corrupt intent. And McGahn can't refuse to testify, and Trump cannot keep him from testifying by claiming executive privilege or attorney-client privilege, because nearly 20 years ago, another special counsel got a court to rule that government attorneys can't avoid grand jury questions about government officials having potentially committed criminal acts. The special counsel who got that established was Ken Starr, and the loser in that case was Bill Clinton. As the former prosecutor, Mariotti, also noted, if the White House counsel says, I didn't tell him it was illegal, I didn't think it was illegal, I just didn't like the tone of the letter, Trump could actually be in the clear here, unless, unless any of the other people in the room contradict him when they testify to the grand jury without knowing how anybody else in the room testified themselves to the grand jury, or unless they produce that marked up copy of the letter McGahn gave back to Stephen Miller telling him he had to take out these paragraphs and those paragraphs, and those paragraphs aren't about tone, but they're about Russia. In the worst case scenario, the president and his senior advisor Miller started a plan to illegally dismiss the FBI director, and they left a paper trail. Then the White House counsel learned of this plan, tried to stop it, left his own paper trail, and may have to wind up testifying against the president. Because then somebody decided to start another conspiracy with the deputy attorney general to come up with an excuse letter with which to dismiss the FBI director anyway. So the acting deputy attorney general is in it too. And just for good measure, they ran it past Hope Hicks, Stephen Miller, Jared Kushner, Rance Priebus, everybody else they could find. And all of them got conspiracy stains all over them. And of course, they also did that to the vice president. As a right-wing commentator for the Washington Post, Jennifer Rubin noted, attention will soon focus on the vice president. What did he hear? Did he know the proffered reason for the termination was phony? And if so, did he knowingly mislead Congress and the American people when he advanced the cover story? Mr. Pence, who seems to have skated away just before the ice cracked under General Mike Flynn, could for the first time be in a world of hurt of his own here. He could easily be a grand jury witness testifying against the president's White House counsel, or the president's son-in-law, or the president. It is entirely plausible that Pence's only way out of this mess that Trump created with the first draft of the Comey letter could easily become turning on Trump. And that's if he had no idea that the White House counsel was furiously trying to stuff the toothpaste back into Trump's tube. And, oh, by the way, another little detail that kind of got lost in the more obvious, more hateful stories about Trump and the hurricane and Trump and North Korea and Trump and DACA is that Trump's security guy of nearly two decades, his permanent body man, his advisor, his gatekeeper, an ex-New York cop named Keith Schiller, up and quit over the weekend, supposedly because he missed the money and his old lifestyle. An old lifestyle which has involved Trump and more money, and his old lifestyle which has involved Trump and more money, and Trump and more money every day since 1999. So I don't know how leaving Trump gets him back to his old Trump lifestyle. But you know who delivered the letter to Comey's office when Trump fired him, right? The same guy, Keith Schiller. But it's just a coincidence. Like it was a coincidence that just before all this broke, Trump's lawyers went to Mueller's office and slimed Comey as an unreliable witness and explained why Trump wasn't guilty of obstruction of justice. Like it was a coincidence that out of the blue last Friday, Trump suddenly slimed Comey and talked about a rigged system on Twitter after months of ignoring both topics. Like it was a coincidence that the president reportedly wrote a furious long letter telling the FBI director he was firing him for apparently not publicly clearing him about Russia. Then coincidentally, the White House counsel saw it. And the next thing you knew, there was a really short coincidental firing letter. And presto, there was also another coincidence, a letter from the attorney general deputy about how bad an FBI director the FBI director was. Oh, and the vice president being in the middle of this, also a coincidence. As the punchline to a joke that's at least 30 years old goes, coincidence? I think not. 2 years or 2 hours, I don't know anymore, but he is the soon-to-be future ex-president of the United States. And I wouldn't need long odds to bet against Mike Pence as well. Resist. Remove. Peace. And look, I don't know if my book is out before he is out, but it's called Trump is Effing Crazy, and it'll be available by October 17th, and you can pre-order it now. Or don't, and just wait for your subpoena.
Whoa, I said it once, now I'm gonna say it again. Each your own, you do what you wanna do, and I'm gonna keep on doing what I'm doing till I can't do what I'm doing no more. No, no, I'm gonna keep on doing what I'm doing till I can't do what I'm doing no more.
All right, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing until we can't do what we're doing no more. All righty. North Korea. I talked about this earlier. That was Keith Olbermann, folks. Keith, one of my favorite commentators. I mean, he is in Trump's butt. He doesn't like Trump. I mean, he said it one day. he said it on one of his YouTube programs that he didn't like Trump. I've heard a lot of commentators and, you know, guests, prominent people in high places just come out and just say it. I don't like Trump. I mean, they make no bones about it. And I love to have people on the show who speak their mind. I mean, don't hold back. Just speak your minds, you know, say what you're going to say. And I've said it on the show several times too, that I don't like Trump. And I don't like Trump not because Trump makes you not like him. You know, he makes you not want to trust him. He makes you not want to, call him president. I don't dislike anybody just for the hell of disliking somebody. I mean, this person has to have some kind of faults for that. Anyway, I was, as I alluded earlier on the show, that Kim Jong-un had launched another missile. It is true. I mean, North Korea flies another missile over Japan, and people are pissed. People are pissed. This guy, as I said earlier, this guy is asking for war. He wants it. There is an article. Let me see if we can't pull up the article. Okay. The latest provocation comes days after the UN Security Council passed the toughest sanctions on this guy. And maybe that's why he's pissed. He's pissed because of the sanctions. So he wants to show everybody that he has missiles to play with. Because as I alluded to this, I mean, he acts as if these things are toys. He acts as if they are toys. Okay. North Korea launched an unidentified missile from the Pyongyang over Japan on Thursday. South Korea news agency reported the latest in a series. This is a series, I agree, of recent provocation actions by that country that also included an underground detonation of a nuclear device. Wow. The American and South Korean militaries are analyzing the launch, according to Seoul's Office of the Joint Chiefs Staff. Seoul's Office of the Joint Chiefs Staff. This guy, he has to be taken out. I mean, I don't advocate war. I don't advocate going in, blowing somebody's head off, unless it's in a book. But this guy, just like the Secretary of State, I think this was the Secretary of State, or was it the Ambassador, Nikki something, I can't remember her last name. She used to be governor, but now she's ambassador to the United States, I believe. She said the same thing. She said, I usually don't agree with her, but I do agree with her when she said this, that North Korea was just itching for war. I totally agree with her. You know, this guy playing with these missiles like they were toys, like he had just gotten his stuff for Christmas or something, under the Christmas tree. He needs to be blown off the earth. You don't want to see people die, but as I just got through saying, it's either him or us. And this is serious. This guy needs to go. And I'm pretty sure some of the allies around the country are thinking the same thing. I mean, if the United States went in and bombed these people to smithereens, I'm pretty sure nobody would probably bat an eye at this, because he's been provocative at this for a long time. It's just crazy. You know, nobody wants to see a war, but hey, wow, nobody wants to be blown up either, you know. And he has his military. The military in North Korea, they're ready for war. They are. They are ready for war. And this guy wants war. He wants it. I mean, he, you know, I mean, everybody, every country in the world has probably have been talking to him, saying, stop this. Stop this. This is crazy. But the more someone tells this guy to stop it, the more missiles he launch. And he's not going to stop it. He's going to get people killed. North Korea launched a ballistic missile that flew over northern Japan in late August and conducted its most powerful nuclear detonation to the date on September 3rd, which the regime claimed was a hydrogen bomb. The United Nations Security Council passed new sanctions against the isolated kingdom on Monday, but so far attempts to pressure, it didn't do anything to stop this guy from launching missiles. It didn't do anything. I mean, this guy is just, he's just crazy. And the United States and its allies, they're going to have to get crazy with this guy and just take him out before he takes the rest of us out. And that is no joke, folks. That is no joke. Okay, let's move right along. It says here that Donald Trump denies DACA deal, says he's doing nothing without a wall. This is Donald Trump. The next moment he does something one day, and the next day he'll deny that he did it. He'll agree on something one day, and the next day come back and he say he didn't agree on it. He doesn't know what they're talking about. Donald Trump is not to be trusted. He's not to be believed on anything. He made a deal with the with the Democrats. And the Republicans were pissed off at that, and they got in Trump's ass. So Trump said today that there is no deal. There was a deal. That was a total deal. Everybody knew it was a deal. The people around him who witnessed that it was a deal. The press said it was a deal. You know, everybody was, now it's no deal. He got his Republican, his base got in his ass, and he changed his mind. Donald Trump cannot be trusted. He'll do something one day, change it. He'll say something one day, then he'll go back and say he didn't say it. Instead of saying, well, you guys took it out of context, he'll just say he didn't say it. Donald Trump has been lying. Donald Trump has been lying since the day he took office in January. And he never stopped. He never looked back. And I feel so sorry for the people who have to go out and defend these lies, constantly lies, to defend him in some way. And such as, for example, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary. She has to go out and just, I think she's a very, very intelligent lady. I think she's very bright. I think she's in the wrong job, though, as defending Donald Trump. I think she's totally in the wrong job. I think she could get a job probably some other kind of government service, instead of getting out there in the press room at the White House every day trying to defend Donald Trump. I mean, you got some people in Donald Trump's administration. They say they're not going to try and defend Donald Trump anymore. They're saying that Donald Trump is going to defend himself. I mean, you had this Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. He said the other day that when someone asked him about Donald Trump and what was Donald Trump doing, he said, well, you got to ask Donald Trump, because I don't know. You're in meetings with him. You know more about what he's up to than anybody. But, you know, he goes on to say, well, you have to ask Donald Trump. I don't know. Nobody really knows what Donald Trump is going to do from one day to the next. Nobody knows what Donald Trump is going to do, going to say from one day to the next. He is just that unpredictable. You know what I think? I think Donald Trump doesn't know what he's going to do from one day to the next. I think Donald Trump, he just plays it by the book. You know, if he does something one day and does something one day and a lot of his supporters and his base, they don't like it, then the next day he's going to change his mind about it. And that's what happened here. OK, so the Dreamers, the DACA bill is not off the desk. These people are still up for deportation. Sorry. They are still up for deportation. So Donald Trump has changed his mind once again. I mean, or he just flat out lied. You just can't believe anything Donald Trump says. He's just not credible as president or as a person. And he is not. I mean, there's so many people are saying Donald Trump is over his head as president. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's being taught how to be president. If Donald Trump is presidential, if Donald Trump is doing things that a president does, that means that he's learning on the job. Donald Trump, because everybody who's anybody, everybody in government has said, especially in Washington, that Donald Trump is just learning by numbers. You know, I mean, they're saying that he doesn't know anything about government. But yet, they're all falling in line with Donald Trump, you know. And a lot of people are saying that they will be so glad when the investigations are over. And I think this: no matter when the investigations are over, I don't think nothing is going to happen to Donald Trump. I think the Republicans are just going to say, no matter what it is, you know, I mean, he's guilty of treason. Well, he's just guilty of treason. There won't be any impeachment process unless the American people demand one. I mean, we have been demanding impeachment of Donald Trump for about 3 or 4 months. So maybe it's time to overthrow. I mean, that's sad and a bad thing to say. But either that or he's going to overthrow the rest of us, especially off our health care, because he needs money for the wall. And he's going to cut every program there is to try to get money for the wall. I actually think that he should probably put up his own money. You want a wall? Pay for it himself. I don't want to help to pay for a wall. You know, so I don't know. The only thing basically that I can say is, folks, we have to galvanize in 2018 to vote. If we get a Democratic Congress in 2018, Trump will be impeached. The Republicans are not going to do it, no matter how many crimes this guy has broken, because they are part of the conspiracy, part of the crime, part of what's going on. You know, they are part of what's going on. And it's a damn shame that we have so much hate in Congress, in the White House, hate, racism. This is why the country is so polarized and so divided, because we have leaders who are polarized and dividing us purposely. And that is not right. You know, that is not right. That's why we have to get together, galvanize, and vote. And they know we're going to vote. They know we're going to throw their asses out. They know this. This is why they are working right now at the sound of my voice to suppress the vote. They are working right now at the sound of my voice to stop you, me, and them, those people over there, from voting. They know this. Donald Trump is leading the cause. Donald Trump is sending out his thugs saying, find a way to prove that there's been voter fraud. He's and so he can try to find, and the Republicans are going to be on in on this too. Believe me, because they want to keep their jobs also, even though they've done nothing. They've done nothing but aid and abet this criminal, Donald Trump. So I've been trying to tell people all over the place that, and sometimes people are smart enough for themselves to realize what's on the wall. And what's on the wall now, because a lot of us are eager to vote November 18. A lot of us are eager to get these clowns and these fools and these racists out of Congress. A lot of us are very, very eager to do that. And they know it. This is why they are trying to do everything, and they don't give a damn about what's in the Constitution. If it was a Democrat that shredded the Constitution the way Donald Trump and these Republicans are doing, they would have impeached him. I mean, they'd have brought up, I mean, just think of all the hearings that they gave Hillary Clinton in the last few years over this Benghazi thing. And Lord knows, don't forget her emails, the hearings. Donald Trump has done monumental damage to the United States. And they are just letting him get away with murder in terms of damage to the United States. It's phenomenal. So the best thing that we can do is galvanize, go to the polls in droves. And, you know, it's good that we know that they're going to try and suppress the vote. It's good that they know that we know that they're going to try to stop us from going to the polls, coming up with this or that or this or that, because that's what Republicans do. They know that they can't win a damn thing without cheating. They have to cheat. And we have to be there to make sure that everything runs smooth as it should be. Because these guys are going to try to cheat, and they're going to try to say, well, we're cheating, but it's good for America. They are going to try to cheat their way back into office, because the Republicans want to stay in office forever. They don't want it to ever be Democratic controlled. Now, I have problems even with the Democrats. I think some of them are just just as weak and cowardly, and you know, but you know, I think they have better ideas. I don't think they're as corrupt as the Republicans. Okay, people put in Republicans because they couldn't stand Democrats. Now we've got Republicans in office. Now the people can't stand Republicans and want them out. And found out that that the Democrats were better at governing than Republicans. And it's been proven now. There's no discussion. It's proven. And even the Republicans are probably agreeing with some of the people who are saying that they cannot govern. And they realize that they asses would be out, will be out. So they're convulging and planning and sneaking. Yeah, they're sneaking around trying to figure out a way, or trying to come up with ways to suppress the vote while you're thinking about something else. You may be thinking about the hurricane in the Caribbean or the Virgin Islands, or you may be thinking about the Hurricane Harvey. While your mind is diverted, while you're distracted, they're figuring out ways to suppress the vote, to keep you from voting. These guys are slick. They try to be, but we are smarter than they are. The American people, we are smarter than they are. But anyway, it's all about getting out the vote to change. You want to take America back? We all want to take America back. But the only way you're going to be able to take it back is to get out here and vote. Because these guys are, from my understanding, they're trying to work on a tax reform. But, and then after tax reform, I think they're going to try and get back to repealing Obamacare. And they may still not have the votes for that, but, you know, they're going to keep trying until they actually get all the votes. And then again, they may never get the votes. Who knows? But anyway, the mere fact that they are trying to cut 35 million people off their health care is a damn shame. We are the people, when we the people, we voted for their butts. And by voting for them, we give them the greatest health care in the world. But they want to take ours away and try to justify that. Well, it's better for America. Save money. Yeah, but I'm going to die. Well, it's good for America. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So you have to get out there and vote. I mean, there's a lot of people out here, they have their reasons for not voting, but I don't think there's really any reason, viable reason for not voting. You know, I mean, because we're all under the same umbrella. I mean, just because you don't vote doesn't mean that he's not going to take your health care away, just like he's going to take the voters' health care away. Also, whether you vote or you don't vote, you're going to still suffer the same consequences. So why not vote? You know, that's what America is all about. That's why we have a constitution. I understand that some people have religion. My religion says I can't vote and I'm not voting. Well, that's your prerogative, but I don't want to say something here, folks. So, all right, let's go to see where we're at here. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7:04, folks, 7:04 p.m. straight up Chicago time. Daylight saving time is telling. I mean, the days are starting to become shorter, but it still feels like summer, even though fall is right around the corner. So, you know, and I want to say this again. I mean, it's great weather in the city of Chicago, and I hope wherever you are in the world that you're having great weather. I understand that the hurricanes have devastated a lot of things around. And I hope you folks out there who are dealing with the aftermath of this hurricane, trying to rebuild, stay positive. Stay focused and tell yourself you're going to get through this. It's and just start over again. Sometimes it may be fun to start over again. I understand that some people, 80% of some people did not have any flood insurance. So, and you know, and people who did have insurance, they're still waiting on a check. So it's still problematic. But you are in our prayers. We're praying that everything's fine as it goes on. You know, so be positive. There's no time to be sad. Oh, I lost this. I lost that. I lost this. No, use that energy to rebuild. To rebuild. You're young. You're talented. You're smart. You got friends, family. I mean, use that energy to rebuild. And that's what it's all about. That's what America is all about. Americans helping Americans in every way there is. And it's always going to be that way. We'll be right back.
to start by honoring the fact that today is September 11th and that it has been 16 years since the horrible attack that happened just downtown from where we're sitting, as well as D.C. and Pennsylvania.
Indeed.
Yeah.
16 years.
16 years. Time really does fly.
Yeah.
Really does fly. And of course, all weekend, Hurricane Irma was everywhere. She hit Florida yesterday as a Category 4 hurricane and wreaked havoc, but has now been downgraded to a tropical storm. We want everybody to do everything you can to stay safe. Mm-hmm. But the storm was the hot topic on television all weekend. Lots of reporters holding on, blowing around, blowing this way, blowing that way. I mean, what did you think? What did you think when you're watching all these people, you know, oh, yeah.
Well, I naturally had ABC wanted us to make sure we stressed that we took efforts to make sure reporters were safe. I know a lot of them were tethered,
which
is reassuring.
Yeah.
They were tethered to
the balcony.
Yes.
Things.
And Amy Robach, who's a good friend of mine, I did write her at one point because I knew she was covering it. And I said, Amy, I'm really freaked out right now watching this. She said, don't worry. We are taking precautions and getting out of the way. But there was nothing else you could watch. And like, I know it's important, but you have 24-hour news stations that, like, maybe could have taken a little news break to say, because news doesn't stop for natural disasters. They could have said, you know, like, FYI, this is what you're also missing, because it was hard.
I found it to be a little exploitive. Like, I understand that reporters need to tell us what's going on, but I don't know that you need to tell us what's going on with all the water and the wind and everything
and the air going.
And it's like they're telling people not to go outside, but they're outside. Like, I didn't understand. And then I saw one reporter say, you know, those of you who are affected by this storm, keep on watching us. I'm like, 5 million people lost power. They can't watch you. So it's just the rest of the world watching. And
ridiculous. It helps in a certain way because it tells the Rush Limbaughs of the world, this is real.
Yeah, well, that's true.
This is really happening. So, you know, get out now.
That's
he's saying, oh, it's nothing. But really, what bothered me is that people are saying, like Pruitt, the EPA head of the EPA is saying, this is not the time to discuss global warming. Well, you know, when is the time when the water's over your head? When is the time exactly?
Yeah.
This is the time to discuss it because scientifically, from what I understand, I'm not a scientist, I don't even play one on TV, but I understand that the heat is creating warm waters in the oceans, in the Gulf, wherever, and that is contributing to the intensity of storms like Irma. Why this is the worst storm we've ever seen, etc., has to do with climate change. And people who deny that, they should start naming all of these next hurricanes after Hurricane Limbaugh, Hurricane Pruitt, Hurricane Palin, you know, Hurricane Trump.
I don't understand why people say it's not the time to talk about it, because, you know, like when there's a mass shooting, people say that's not the time to talk about gun control. I think it is the time to talk about it, because that's when it's on your mind. And I saw Al Gore's newest movie. I think it's The Inconsequential Truth.
Yeah.
It makes the case that there is a tie between what we've been doing to our environment and these superstorms. I hope people go out and look at it, because it's been his life's work, and I believe him.
I think with the mass shootings, I know I'm always one of the people on Twitter that says, give it a minute.
Yes,
and
you
I
are.
Think the reason is that when people are losing their lives, I always remember, first and foremost, before the news or before the story, or I remember there's someone, it's someone's mother, it's someone's daughter, it's someone's brother, and I just feel like there's a sacred time. That's not to say you can't 24 hours later have that debate and link back to what happened and make your argument, but I just personally believe in a 24-hour period where when people's lives are being lost, you got to give it a minute.
Well,
that's just me.
Pockets when in there, because sometimes we've seen reporters talk at memorials or like at funerals. Mm-hmm. Those are not the times.
Yeah,
so I think there's something between Sonny and Jed that I agree with.
Yeah.
You don't want it to pass too far though, because you need people, you need to pull on people's heartstrings when it's an issue like this, because politics are personal. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, that's the time to say, I'm scared watching this and I have no, I'm not affected directly by this, but I want to know how we're going to avoid this going forward.
I misquoted the name of his movie. It's an inconvenient sequel. People really need to take a
look at it. One thing I'll also say about these reporters that always fascinates me is people forget there's so much pressure on them. This one reporter, Haley Minogue, a reporter for a CBS affiliate, said, somewhere it's been ingrained in our minds that there's a million people that would love to have your job, so yeah, if you won't do it, someone else will.
A million people would kill for
that. Well, it's true, though, and there's always someone that's going to tell the story. So I have a lot of respect for the people, whether it's, you know, a natural disaster or whether it's a terrorist attack or whether it's the scene of a crime where you have suspects are on the run. There have to be people that are willing to go in there and on the ground tell you what's happening. And it's dangerous and it's scary. But
people, like, if I see Rob Marciano,
how about stop
watching? One thing.
How about give yourself a break?
Right.
Because, you know, you're part of it.
Right.
Part of the reason is, you know,
you're consuming it.
Right. And if it's on every, you know, God knows we have a lot of choices on what networks you can go to. There are a zillion of them. So give yourself a break.
Yeah.
But see, we're so addicted to information like this that you couldn't tear yourself away and go, you know what, let me go watch the Archie's cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's old. I know.
Netflix.
But it's a whole but you know what I mean.
Again, I understand a meteorologist doing it. Like if I see Rob Marciano or Sam Champion.
Yeah.
But I don't
Ginger
know,
Z, yeah.
And Ginger Z, but like, why should I be out there covering?
You notice
I mean,
Trump,
there's no legal angle.
We should not be covering that. No.
You notice that Donald Trump wasn't out there.
Woo! Woo! Wow. Here's something that also you probably don't want to do.
What?
As this turns out, this was a joke, but it was called firing guns at storms. It didn't stop over 50,000 people from saying they would attend a posted event on Facebook called Shoot at Hurricane Irma. It gained so much attention. Now, again, it was done as a joke, but it gained so much attention that a Florida sheriff's office tweeted a warning not to show up. But I believe 80,000 people signed up for something that was meant to be, you know, a joke. No, I mean, and you want to say, okay, so where did you think you were going to come out to? Where did you think you were going to walk to and shoot the gun? It's 190,000 mile an hour wind. Don't you think shooting the gun would be dangerous? Because maybe the bullet's going to go, hey! You know? I mean, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But they folks signed up for
people.
It.
A lot of crazies.
There are.
All righty. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Trump dismisses climate change question by contradicting himself on hurricanes. I just got through saying, folks, that you cannot rest on anything that this guy says because he's going to change his mind in a flash of a minute or less. He contradicts himself. He's saying that we've had bigger hurricanes than the one we experienced lately. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Wow. And this is new. This is current. President Donald Trump pressed on whether to back deadly hurricanes have changed his views on climate change. Okay, dodged the question on Thursday by contradicting past comments he made about the size of the storms that have rocked Texas and Florida. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's doing. But he's out there trying to act like a president, and it's not working. It's not working. Trump was speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One on Thursday after touring the damage from Hurricane Irma on Florida's west coast. And he still doesn't believe in climate change. He still doesn't believe in global warming. Which is crazy, because what is causing these hurricanes, these rains, these storms? What's causing? Who's responsible? We are responsible. We are responsible for this. We're sending all kinds of stuff into the atmosphere. I'm no scientist, but I do believe in global warming. I mean, if I never believed in it before, I believe in it now. You know, I think there is something to it. And Trump would believe, but I think Trump would actually believe in global warming and climate change if he didn't have a lot of other people whispering in his ear saying, don't believe in that kind of thing. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, the Republicans wouldn't believe in global warming or climate change if it smacked them in the face. They just wouldn't believe because they're conservatives, and conservatives, GOP, they don't believe, you know. I mean, they wouldn't believe in climate change if it ran up and bit them. But, you know, okay, Donald Trump, I mean, you can't believe this guy. I mean, they were saying that he struck a deal with DACA, which he did. He did strike a deal. Now he's saying it was no deal. Even these people were in the White House. They were sitting on the couch. They were in the Oval Office when he struck the deal. There were Republicans and Democrats all around him. And now he's saying he didn't strike a deal when everybody there basically said the man struck a deal. Now he was saying, you know, he was believing in climate change for a little while. And then one of his aides or one of his flunkies or whispered in his ear and said that your base do not want you to believe in climate change or global warming. Suddenly he doesn't believe in it anymore. Donald Trump, he's following his base. His base is telling him what to do, what to say, what not to say. And they get pissed off when he doesn't fulfill his campaign promises about deporting people and immigration and stopping people from coming into the country, throwing people out of the country, whether they're good guys or bad guys, he's going to toss them. And one of the things about Donald Trump's base, it's dwindling. I mean, his base, his supporters are not as many as there were before. A lot of them have said that they are disappointed. They feel as though they were conned and hoodwinked in voting for this guy. Newsflash, you were. you were. Donald Trump is nothing but a carnival barker, a con man, a thug. He thinks only of himself. And all of these people around him who are aiding and abetting him, they're the same thing. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Okay. Whatever. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:20 p.m. in the city of Chicago. We got about 10 more minutes left into the show. And this is Thursday. We will be back on Monday. We'll be back Monday, and we have a whole slew of brand new guests, brand new stories and topics to talk about. It's going to be fun, folks. Wait a minute. Okay. And I have a doctor's appointment, yes. But I think I'll be back in time to do the show, maybe. Let's hope so. All righty. We got a whole slew of guests. I'm looking at my calendar right now, so make sure you guys tune in for that. It should be interesting. It should be very, very interesting. Okay, you can always follow me on Facebook, again, Google. I'm all over the place. I'm never too hard to find because I love people. I love talking to people. I love engaging with the right kinds of people. And, you know, like I said before, I deal with a lot of people, and, you know, people are different. People think differently. No person is ever exactly the same. So you kind of have to adjust to them. Wow, sound like I'm at a job interview. So you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7:21. We're going to do a little bit of this. Kelly Conway. Whatever happened to Kelly Conway? I don't see her much on cable, but I'm pretty sure she's still with the Trump administration. This is a little bit of criticism about her.
During an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with poison keyboards. I guess what she's trying to say is that they're a bunch of internet trolls going out there and just saying mean old things to Kellyanne, who really isn't doing anything wrong. She doesn't understand why people are being so mean and horrible to her these days. Now, according to this interview that she gave with Politico, she had explained to her children that, yeah, look, mommy's going to be doing this thing. People are going to come at her. It's going to be, you know, pretty ugly sometimes, but just deal with it. To be honest, that is a very good thing to tell your children. Yeah, when you're in the public spotlight, there's going to be the naysayers. But if she took the time to explain that to her children, maybe she should have taken the time to explain to her children that, hey, listen, mommy's going to have to go on TV and lie through her teeth to the American public about things that never happened. She is the one who came up with the term alternative facts. She is the one who invented the Bowling Green massacre that never happened. So I understand nobody likes to get criticized, but Kellyanne, you're inviting this on yourself. The people who criticize you, who call you out, are not unhappy people. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a very happy person. I love my life right now. But I will continue to criticize you anytime you feel the need to go on television and lie to the American public on behalf of Donald Trump. Anytime you make up a fake terrorist attack, we're going to be there, as will everybody else online. And it's not because we just dislike you. It's because we don't want you to continue to dumb down the United States. This is our civic duty, to hold you and everyone else in your White House accountable. So you may think it's fine to go out there and give these interviews and attack the people who you claim are attacking you. But the truth is, all we're doing is trying to hold you accountable and, to be honest, try to undo some of the damage that you're inflicting on the public today. There are Republicans out there in the United States today who, honest to God, believe that the Bowling Green massacre was a thing, that it happened, that it was carried out by Iraqi immigrants, and that U.S. citizens died as a result of it. And that's all on you, Kellyanne. You're poisoning the public discourse. It's not the people who dislike you. They don't have the problems. You do. And you need to learn, and you need to take the time to teach your children that when you screw up, you do get held accountable. When you lie to hundreds of millions of people, they're going to come after you. And the only way you can make it right is to go out and apologize and try to do the right thing from that point forward. That's what you need to learn. But honestly, I don't think you ever will. You're very happy being a stooge for Donald Trump. You have no problem going out in the media and just literally making things up. It must be nice to live in a world where you don't have to bother with things like research. You can just immediately go out there, say whatever you want. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't care. You just move on to the next interview. While the rest of us have to pick up the pieces and undo the damage that you cause every time you put your face in front of a camera. If you like this video, make sure you like, comment, share,
all right,
and most importantly,
so
subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. If you've done all those things, please check out all...
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
White man, if he turns back away, kiss the man has called. Heaven help us all.
George Waddle Jr. Show is just about off the air. One of the things about the hurricanes that I found so humorous was watching the weather people out there in the middle of the hurricane, all the wind blowing all around the place. They just look so silly. Blowing the weather people out there in the elements in the hurricane. And they look so stupid. All right, you've been listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show. Thanks for joining me, folks. I hope to see you next. Have a great weekend. Have a great evening. Goodbye, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.